And good afternoon. Welcome to Topical Currents. I'm Bonnie Berman. Joseph Cooper is away. And thanks for joining us. Today, collaborative divorce dates back to 1990. It serves as an alternative to adversarial divorce proceedings and is gaining popularity nationally as well as internationally. Joining us now is the team from Florida Collaborative Trainers. It's based in Miami. It includes two attorneys, one neutral mental health professional and one neutral financial professional. First, let me welcome the two lawyers present, Robert Merlin of the law offices of Robert J. Merlin, PA in Coral Gables, specializes in marital, family, and collaborative law. Welcome to you.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Thanks for joining us. Rosemary Roth is a Florida Supreme Court certified family mediator and a trainer in collaborative family law. She's a specialist in family law and the first president of the Collaborative Family Law Institute. Welcome to you.
Thank you very much. I'm glad to be here.
Dr. Lana Stern is a licensed psychologist, licensed marriage and family therapist, and Florida Supreme Court certified family mediator and parent coordinator in private practice in Coral Gables. Welcome, Dr. Stern.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
And last but not least, certified public accountant Edward Sachs is a forensic accountant who serves as an expert witness in federal and circuit courts and is the neutral financial professional member of Florida Collaborative Trainers. Welcome to you.
Thank you. Well, I'm glad to be here.
Okay. So, well, we have a lot to cover and a lot of you present. So let's start with you, Rosemary Roth.
Okay. Thank you.
I'd like just for you to tell us about collaborative law generally, how it works, and how you brought it to this area, actually.
Well, actually, what happened is in 1999, I learned about this at an American Bar Association family law meeting, and there was this panel, and I thought, it was on collaborative law, and I'd never heard of that. And as I listened to these people, I thought to myself, this really is the way family law should be practiced because it's so much better for families and for their children. It's a transparent process, and it is distinct from other models of alternative dispute resolution because it allows the clients, their attorneys, and the other professionals involved to resolve their issues without going to court. And that is one of the distinctive parts about the collaborative process. The attorneys and the clients sign an agreement saying they will not go to court. It's called a participation agreement. And that agreement sets forth the way the process works. And it works beautifully. And it's so beneficial for kids.
Well, let me just ask you, what if one of the parties during the process says, I'm out of this, I want to go to court?
That could happen. And okay. If it does, the process ends because the attorneys are only representing them for the purpose of settling the case. But because the rate of success in collaborative is over 90%, that rarely has happened.
And you brought it to this area, is that right?
Yes, actually I did.
Okay, tell us about that.
Well, it was after I went to that American Bar Association meeting, and I thought, I have to do something about this. So I went back to my office and I called 11 other lawyers who I knew and who I trusted implicitly. And I asked them if they would like to start this and be a part of something that I thought was really amazing. And we did. We started the Collaborative Family Law Institute. And as time wore on, we realized that we needed to have other people involved in it. The International Academy of Collaborative Professionals, which is an organization encompassing all three disciplines, mental health, legal, as well as financial, they were using mental health professionals in the process. And we decided at first that we weren't going to do that unless we really needed them. But until we learned how they needed to be used, we were not even doing it properly if we referred clients out because they don't provide therapy.
Right.
What they do is they facilitate the process. And if the parties do need therapy, they refer them out to the therapist.
I see. But, well, we'll deal with Dr. Stern in just
right,
a little while, Lana.
She'll tell you all of that.
Okay.
So what we do, one of the things that is so important is we model behavior for our clients because it's a civil process and it's respectful. And as long as the professionals are acting properly.
Civilly,
yeah. Then the clients realize they have to follow suit.
Okay.
And they do. They really do.
Okay. And Robert Merlin, as a collaborative attorney now, your role is quite different than it was. You were a conventional divorce attorney, I understand.
Correct.
What changed within you that you chose this path?
As an experienced litigator, I knew that there had to be a better way to handle family cases than fighting in court and really being destructive in the process. So we make a paradigm shift. It's literally a different way of thinking, acting, talking, treating each other. I describe it as professionalism at a higher level. The professionals have respect for each other and for the process and for the clients. So instead of an attorney sort of threatening the other spouse, we work with them to help both spouses resolve their issues. Instead of it being adversarial, we're more cooperative. We work with each other. The professionals work together as a team to help the parties control their own destiny to determine how they and their children are going to live in the future, instead of a judge dictating to a family how that judge thinks they should live their future.
And it's up to that judge. I mean, it's a very subjective thing when it's in the hands of a judge.
And judges have a lot of discretion as to how they are going to rule. They can come in with their own prejudices, and what may be good for that particular family may not be acceptable to the judge. So shouldn't the family make their own decisions? Of course.
And are you more satisfied and more fulfilled doing this?
Much. It feels just great. I was in a case recently, and it was a long-term marriage, more than 20 years. The wife in court probably would have received permanent alimony. The husband did not want to pay permanent alimony. She decided that she would accept less than permanent alimony because she determined her priority was peace in the family and having a healthy relationship with the father of her child. And at our last meeting, she said to the professionals, "Thank you for helping us not fight each other." And that says it all.
How does a collaborative divorce differ from an amicable divorce?
Well, collaborative is one of a number of alternative dispute resolution tools. A couple could negotiate everything themselves.
Okay.
But using attorneys brings the expertise and knowledge to the table so that the parties have more information about what would be the norm under the law, but not just that. What other ideas are there? Let's be creative to help this family create something that works best for them. It may not be a solution that a judge would find palatable or could even do under the law, but in the collaborative process, we can do that. There's a limitation of knowledge when parties are representing themselves. Obviously, it costs more to have attorneys, but it should be worth the expense.
I'm going to get to the cost of this, too. I want to bring in Dr. Stern, though. Lana, as a psychologist and a mental professional, what's your role in the process, and why did you become part of this?
Well, I thought the idea of having a mental health person made sense. Psychologists and mental health professionals have been dealing with families and the aftermath of terrible divorces for many years. So this just made sense to me to be part of a team. Initially, in the beginning, collaborative was just a lawyer-lawyer process, and the mental health person was brought in on an as-needed basis. After a few cases where it just didn't work, coming in with the couple not knowing the mental health person, it was decided that it would be better for the mental health person to be in from the beginning. That way, they have a relationship with the two parties. They have a relationship with the attorney and the financial neutral. And it made the whole process sort of come together, and it made sense. The expertise of the mental health professional is extensive in terms of understanding family dynamics, helping with parenting plans, understanding the developmental issues that children might have, helping with co-parenting, and even more than that, keeping the attorneys collaborative.
You mean you're an in-house therapist?
Well, let's put it this way. I sometimes can be a moderator and a troubleshooter sometimes when things come up.
Okay. And how does what you're in your role as a neutral mental health professional differ from therapy?
Well, it's very different, and we make that so clear in the beginning that I won't be doing therapy. I'm not working with a couple to try to deal with the issues in their marriage. We're very future thinking and forward thinking in terms of the co-parenting relationship after the fact. And even if the children are adults, there's still many, many co-parenting issues that are going to be coming up.
And I'm sure it's very different, your role, when there are children and when there aren't.
Yes and no. The process of having people communicate better, we as a team model cooperative and collaborative behavior right in our team sessions. There's a safety factor that's built into the way that we negotiate the divorce process and the issues in the divorce. Therefore, the end result is much more amicable than it would have been in a litigation type of model.
How does a couple know? We have Edward Sachs on the line, but I think we're going to have to take a break before you bring him in. If you don't mind, Edward, if you don't mind waiting.
Not a problem.
Okay. In general, how does a couple know if collaborative divorce is right for them? Or is it always right?
Well, there are questions that we ask our clients during an initial consultation.
That's Rosemary.
It's Rosemary Roth. And from the questions that we ask them, we want to know if there has been domestic violence in the case, if they are willing to consider the other side as well as themselves in negotiating an agreement, because this is not one takes all, you know, winner takes all. This is not that kind of a situation. This is a win-win settlement that we are headed toward and helping them reach. So there is a very important part that we play in getting our clients to understand that, and we want to make sure that they are right for the process. If they want scorched earth, this is not for them.
Right. Okay, we're speaking about collaborative law today with the Florida Collaborative Trainers. They're based in Miami on Topical Currents, and we need to take a short break. We're going to come back. We're going to open the phones and a lot more. So stay with us. And welcome back to Monday's Topical Currents. Bonnie Berman with you. We're visiting with Florida Collaborative Trainers, attorneys Robert Merlin, Rosemary Roth, mental health professional Dr. Lana Stern, and accountant Edward the neutral financial professional, Edward Sachs. So, Edward, let's bring you into this. What is a forensic? You're a forensic accountant. What is that?
Well, I'm a forensic accountant. I'm a certified public accountant that works with all issues related to the law, anything that's financially related to the law. In this case, in the matter of divorce, it's helping the parties to understand the financial information they need to reach their settlement.
Okay, so generally, so what do you do exactly? You're part of this training group, and you're dealing with a divorce. What exactly would you do?
Well, the first thing we do, which is a tremendous help to the whole atmosphere of collaborative, is that we marshal all the records that are needed, all of the financial records. We're the person that gets all the records together from the parties and provides the information from those records. That right there is a tremendous time saving in the collaborative process. But then, on a case-by-case basis, we provide the financial information, whether it's determining the party's income so that they can work out support arrangements, helping them to value the assets so they can figure out how to divide everything up, helping them to understand what their needs are from a financial point of view, what it will cost for the parties to live apart now, any kind of information that they need to handle the financial part of the settlement, that's what our role is.
And I suppose in these cases, because I guess you often hear of people hiding money or hiding accounts or whatever, I guess in this kind of situation, everything is transparent.
Everything's transparent, so even if they were trying to hide things, we're going to probably find them.
Mm-hmm.
They could be inconsequential in the parties' minds, but they could be of importance in the case. We'll still be looking for that type of things. But again, with the transparency, we don't see that very much.
We're speaking about collaborative law on today's Topical Currents. If you want to join in the conversation, if either you've had an experience or you're thinking about having one or have questions for our experts, the number is 1-800-743-9576, 1-800-743-9576. My email's a little iffy. You can try it, radio@wlrn.org, radio@wlrn.org. Rosemary, we were talking during the break. You wanted to make a point about how collaborative divorce gives individuals the opportunity to be heard.
Well, when people go to court, they don't have an opportunity really to express, say what they want to say. They answer questions, whether it's from their lawyer, from the other lawyer, or from the judge. But in the collaborative process, they have an opportunity to speak and to be heard, and that is very, very important, because two people very often have completely different perceptions of the same issue. So as long as one party is saying this is the way they see or this is the way they feel about a particular issue, the other person does not have to agree with them, but they have to listen and they have to understand. And that really goes a long way in helping these people reach an agreement, because the attorneys are very careful to make sure this process is working the way it's supposed to, and we guide our clients so that they can ultimately reach an agreement that they can live with.
Let's talk about the cost, and I don't know, maybe Robert, if you want to take this. Is a collaborative divorce of equal financial burden as a conventional divorce, or is it less expensive? Or
in theory, it can be less expensive, and I'll give you an example. Instead of two attorneys working on children's issues at their high hourly rate, we have the mental health professional, the facilitator, such as Lana, work on that. Lana has much better qualifications in this area than I do, and her hourly rate is less. Well, even if she was billing as much as I am, it's only one person. So she acts as a neutral facilitator to help the parties negotiate the issues with respect to their children. And the attorneys will review that afterward just to make sure everything is okay, but it saves the parties a lot of money. In Ed's realm, very often in litigation, each party will hire their own forensic accountant. That we never have battling experts in the collaborative process. There's only one, and that person is neutral. So instead of me as an attorney working on some of the financial issues as well as a forensic accountant for my client, everything is given to the forensic accountant, such as Ed. He gathers everything together for both sides. The parties wind up saving money as a result.
So, Ed, that's a very different role for you than you have in a litigated case. Do you still take part in litigation, or you only do collaborative now?
No, I do both. I do both litigated divorce and collaborative divorce. I also do other civil litigation cases. So, yes, I do wear both hats.
Okay, and how would you compare them?
Well, for the accountant, it's a little bit not as different. It's not as big of a paradigm shift as it is for the attorneys, because we act as neutral accountants in cases very often, which puts us somewhat in the same role. The big difference in the big shift, paradigm shift for the accountant, is that we are truly a facilitator to the parties. We're there to provide them, you know, with the information and to help them, as Bob described earlier, with any kind of creative types of solutions so that they can get to the end goal that they're trying to get to in a reasonable manner.
How and who goes about what I would imagine would be a laborious process of scheduling times and places? You're talking about four of you and a couple and whoever else, the children and Rosemary?
Well, actually, what we do at that first meeting, when they sign this agreement that they will not go to court, be very important is that we schedule future meetings, and we have everyone present at that time. And if the financial person is not there, we get that person on the telephone so that we can have at least two meetings after our initial meeting, so that they know we have time when we have to have things ready, things done, and it makes the process go a lot smoother. But I wanted to also add something about how the cost is less. We're not preparing for hearings. We're not going downtown to court. We are not scheduling depositions, which are sworn statements where we have a court reporter and the person is questioned by by both attorneys. And there are a lot of other processes that take place. It's called discovery, getting all the information. Mm-hmm. And we're not hiring all kinds of experts. So the cost is less, but it can be costly, but it's not, it really doesn't compare to the cost of a heavily litigated case.
Again, our number, if you want to join in the conversation, is 1-800-743-9576, 1-800-743-9576. Email is radio@wlrn.org. It looks like it is working. And you can also tweet us. That's at Topical Currents. How does collaborative divorce differ from mediation? Is that, again, just another form of an alternate?
It's an excellent question, and it's asked frequently. Mediation is more of a focused process of helping the parties just negotiate the settlement. In the collaborative process, we start from the very beginning. We identify issues. We talk to the parties about what their priorities are. What are their concerns? What are their goals? What are their fears? And we gather the information. We gather documents. We identify which documents we need. And we gather them. We analyze them. We sit down. We brainstorm about potential resolutions to the various issues. We prepare all of the documents. And we actually go into court in a very simple hearing. It's a 5-minute hearing, and very few documents are filed in the collaborative process, as opposed to in litigation, where everything that's filed and it's required to be filed is public record.
Lana, Bob just mentioned fear. How big how often do you have to deal with that? How big a factor is fear in the whole process?
I think the whole process is set to take away the fear, because it's a very structured process. The team meetings are 2 hours. There is an agenda. The clients are already prepped by the attorneys about exactly what's going to be discussed. Everyone is prepared. That certainly adds a lot to take away the fear factor. Plus, I have a relationship with both of these people. I have an interview with them immediately after the case becomes collaborative, and I get to know them pretty well, and I can give that feedback to the attorneys. I know the areas that may be problematic. I will find out the underlying interest or issues of the parties, and I can discuss that with the attorneys because we have this transparent and confidential meeting together, so that we, as a team, we can really anticipate and troubleshoot areas that may become problematic. And because we know what they might be, that takes away a lot of the fear factor.
And what about for the children? I would think that that might be such a tremendous, have such an effect on them, divorce, even of a collaborative nature.
In a collaborative case, the children are so much better protected, mm-hmm. because we have the parents talking about what they think is in the best interest of their children. And so even if it isn't exactly what a court might determine, the parents themselves can design their own parenting plan, and they can decide how these issues will be resolved between the two of them. It really cuts down on a lot of the turmoil or a lot of the negativity that can happen when you have parents that are trying to oppose each other or use the children as pawns in the process.
Who decides in something like this who gets custody? Is that...
We no longer have the word custody. Oh. We now have shared parental responsibility. And again, we have the parents talking about how they will share their parenting responsibilities with each other. And again, what is in the best interest of the children, depending on their developmental age and other issues that will come up.
Bonnie,
yes.
To answer your question, very simply, the parties resolve that.
Okay.
And the professionals are there to help them resolve their own decision.
On how they'll share.
Right.
This allows them, to co-parent after we're not there anymore. And the mental health professional plays a very big role in that. The attorneys, too. But the communication skills that the MHP, which we call the mental health professional, imparts to them is very beneficial.
We're speaking about collaborative law with Florida Collaborative Trainers, and we need to take another break on today's Topical Currents. Again, our number, 1-800-743-9576. If you want to join in the conversation, please stay with us.
Yeah.
And welcome back to Topical Currents. We're speaking about collaborative law with Florida Collaborative Trainers, which includes Robert Merlin, an attorney, with Rosemary Roth, the other attorney. Dr. Lana Stern is the neutral health, mental health professional. And we have Edward Sachs, who is the neutral financial professional. Bob, I wanted to ask, evidently there was a statute in the Florida legislature concerning collaborative divorce. What happened?
What a loaded question. I've been working, and Rosemary's been working as well, for at least 6 years on a collaborative statute which would recognize statewide the collaborative process. As of now, the professionals govern themselves, but with a statute, the public would know about the collaborative process. Attorneys would be required to discuss the process as an alternative to their clients. It was in the legislature this past session. It passed two committees in the Senate and the Senate floor unanimously. It passed two House committees unanimously. And then when it was scheduled to go before the House, for political reasons, it was not even brought to a vote.
Why and do you think that was?
The belief is that there were some litigators who do not want collaborative to become common knowledge. Hmm. They feel threatened by it, which is completely illogical. But they don't want it to happen, and I believe that they got to some of the legislators.
It's hard to understand that, especially because it's a voluntary process. No one is making anyone go into a collaborative case.
So. Right.
Doesn't make sense.
It's
but we're going to get there. We are going to get there.
Right. Yeah. We'll continue working on it.
Okay. I want to take this call from Lynn because it was a question I had. Lynn, welcome to Topical Currents. Go ahead.
Thank you for taking my call. I was divorced about 8 years ago, and I was listening to you talk and thinking first how much I wish that this had been something that was either available or that I had known of at the time. And second, I guess, well, the question is, do you have any insight or statistics into cases that have been divorces that have gone through the collaborative process? Do you find less of those cases, of those families going back to family court to enforce the settlement that they've come to through a collaborative process?
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Great Absolutely. Question. That's an excellent question and one of the great aspects of the collaborative process. Because we model behavior for the parties, we teach the parties that they can indeed resolve their own disputes. And instead of resorting to going back to their attorneys or going into court, they resolve their own issues. So I've had approximately 40 collaborative cases. I've only had one case where there was a need to go back into court later on. And in fact, in the agreements, we set up a system. How are you going to resolve your disputes? Well, first you'll go to the collaborative process, and if that doesn't work, you'll go to mediation, and then in a last-ditch effort, you go to court.
That's great. That's great. And do you discuss, I mean, so much of this is forward thinking, and when you're going through the divorce process, addressing how the families will handle their life in the future, do you address future spouses? And is there any sort of systematic approach that says, you know, you're bringing somebody new into this at some future date, assuming there's somebody new, and giving them an opportunity to kind of get up to speed on what's happened, because all of this has happened, assuming, in the past before the introduction of remarriage.
So are you talking about the introduction of that new person to the children?
More, that's, I think, a key issue, but no, more of the introduction of that person into this is how this family handles disputes between the ex-husband and the ex-wife, and kind of, I wonder how you deal with bringing somebody new on board.
Okay, that's a mental health question. One thing I wanted to say about going back to court. First of all, remember the parties themselves have determined and decided how they're going to resolve some of those issues, especially around the children. Also, that's an issue that's discussed is exactly that: how will a new person be introduced? We do have a discussion about that, and the parties themselves figure out, you know, and it's individualized, I guess, for on a case-by-case basis, how that person will be introduced or when that person will be introduced. That doesn't always mean that there is total agreement, but at least the topic is discussed and brought up.
Lynn, your question specifically was about letting that new person know how things were handled in the existing family. It's really up to the spouses, the parents, to tell their new significant others about the process. Typically, the process does not address that other than if a relationship exists, there may be issues that have to be addressed at that time during the process. And we'll do that, especially through the facilitator / mental health professional.
I just brought up another call, and Lynn's call dropped, but I hope, Lynn, if you have more questions, you can call back, as can you. If you want to join in the conversation, the number is 1-800-743-9576, 1-800-743-9576, that's 1-800-743-WLRN, or email is working, radio@WLRN.org. Well, we heard from Lynn, who wished she had known of the process, but we have Ed on the phone now, who went through the process. Ed, are you there?
I'm here.
Hi.
How are you?
Hi, welcome to Topical Currents. So you went through this process. I just wanted to know, I'd like to know about your experience. Well, and first, why did you decide to go this route?
The route had been suggested by my former wife, and initially I was looking at the traditional flow path, which would have been the adversarial litigative model, but when my ex-wife brought that to my attention, the collaborative process, I asked a friend of mine who was an attorney, and he mentioned that he knew of the process, but he wasn't trained in it. So then I went on the hunt looking for the collaborative attorneys in Dade County, and that's when I found Rosemary Roth.
And tell us what the experience was like. Do you have children?
Two. I have two daughters.
Okay, so how did it work out? Was it easier going, do you think? Was it better for your children?
Well, I think everyone on the panel has kind of alluded to the difference between the two methods.
Mm-hmm.
In the collaborative method, all the parties are brought together in the same room, and they work together to hammer out an amicable solution through the marital settlement agreement as to how things will occur once the divorce is in place. And I would contrast that by saying that, you know, several years prior to my divorce, I was helping a colleague of mine with his divorce who happened to be, we'd travel quite frequently. And so I would go down to the courthouse and help him with his issues. And he was going through the more traditional litigative process, and it was a mess, watching the things that he had to do and the papers and things he had to do to submit with his attorney. And if I had to recommend to anyone, if they were going to get divorced, I would recommend the collaborative process well over the litigative process, unless there are other underlying issues in the divorce, such as, you know, family violence or drug abuse or things of that issue that really need to be addressed slightly differently.
Right. Let me ask you, how long did it take? And I'll ask the panel, does it generally take longer or a shorter amount of time than a conventional divorce? Ed?
I think when I first met with Rosemary, I think we met in May of 2011. And then I think we scheduled our first meeting, I think June or July. And there was some front-end work that had to be done. I got a checklist from Rosemary of all the different documents that needed to be provided, along with financials, which Ed Sachs alluded to earlier. And I think the longest part of the process was actually the back and forth with the marital settlement agreement, because, as Rosemary indicated, that's where the two spouses come together and they decide how they want the marriage to end and how they want the co-parenting process and the relationship to begin once the divorce is final. And I think we've got everything signed and taken care of in December. Now, I don't know if that's a record or if that's longer than normal, but I think the key piece here is that understanding that the marital settlement agreement, which is the piece of paper that both of the spouses are working on, is the key piece That's the key instrument by which the relationship, as well as the co-parenting of the children and the time-sharing of the children, that's where that is all governed. And I think that's a very critical document, which they really shouldn't rush through. So I was happy with the time frame.
Okay. And let me ask you now, whoever wants to take this, is this process generally the same time, shorter, longer?
Usually shorter. Because I'm trying to get a hearing in itself could be a month or two, and trying to get a trial date could be a year away.
You know, you mentioned earlier the whole question of...
This is Edward Sachs.
Yes. The six people trying to coordinate their schedules. Take that and say, okay, not only do the six people have to coordinate, but now they have to coordinate with the court.
Right.
And getting court dates are very difficult. So to that extent, it certainly shortens up the time. But you know, it really, the key to this is it runs at the speed that the parties want it to run at.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, whoever wants to be the slowest will be the slowest at getting the records. But, you know, it is them, it's the parties that control the speed of the process.
But some people, this is Rosemarie again, but some people are not emotionally ready. So they are the slowest person. And we always say that the process can only go as fast as the slowest person. Some people are already there, out, I'm ready, get it over with.
Right.
And the other person may not be there.
Lana, you want to add something?
Yes, we sometimes liken a divorce process to dealing with a death of a relationship. Some people are in shock because they didn't expect a divorce to occur. Other people are ready to move on and restart their life. And so you find people at very, very various stages of anger, of mourning, and so forth. And so we need to go according to their schedule, not to a court schedule. The other thing, in terms of timing, if there are complications such as substance abuse or depression, where someone needs to be in treatment, we take that into consideration also.
Okay. We're speaking with Florida Collaborative Trainers. We'll also find out about the training and take calls from Valerie and Carol. So everybody, stay there, and we just need to take this break. We'll be right back. And welcome back to today's Topical Currents. Bonnie Berman with the team from Florida Collaborative Trainers. Website is floridacollaborativetrainers.com, and we'll have a link to their website on our website, wlrn.org. And joining us in the studio, Dr. Lana Stern is the healthcare mental health professional, and attorneys Robert Merlin and Rosemarie Roth, and the forensic accountant and financial professional is Edward Sachs. Not Sachs, but the other Ed. Did you want to add anything? We have other calls, and I was going to take those if, unless you wanted to add something.
Sure. The one thing I wanted to add, and maybe from a layperson's perspective, is that, as Rosemarie alluded to earlier, and the panel alluded to, that, and I mentioned this to Rosemarie as we were going through the process, this really is the kinder, gentler approach to a very traumatic event in anyone's life. You never really anticipate all the issues you have to think about or go through, and the things you have to do in preparation for divorce, especially when you've got a mindset about your relationship. And when there's children involved, that adds just another layer of complication to the process, not only psychologically or from a calculation perspective, but also from an emotional perspective. And the last thing you really want to do is have to suit up in armor and go to battle in a courtroom, or sit there and with your attorney in an adversarial type of setting and shoot volleys across the fax machine, and then take a process that's already painful and drag it out for a long, undetermined period of time and just make it even that much worse. Because that can turn into a kind of a scorched earth policy where there are no winners, and the losers in that kind of a scenario will be the children. So
right.
If any of your listeners are out there or contemplating a divorce because they've decided that they've just had irreconcilable differences, they really should consider the collaborative process, because it's tough enough to have to go through it when you're not really thinking about it. But you really need somebody there. You need to be there with a team of people that are really looking out for not only your best interests, but they're also looking out for the interests of the kids involved and the families involved. And hopefully, if it's done right, it will have a, there'll be a happy ending at the end of this, otherwise not a happy process.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Ed, and I'm glad things worked out for you, and thanks
sure.
for joining us.
You bet. Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye. Valerie, in Miami, did you want to talk to our team?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. You're with us.
All right. Thank you. I appreciate that last caller.
Sorry about that. 1 second. Okay, go ahead, Valerie.
Okay. I just was divorced in January after a long 5-year separation where we tried individual private mediation, which failed, and I had a collaborative lawyer, and my husband was willing to pursue the collaborative.
Valerie, I'm sorry you're breaking up a little, so it's everybody's kind of straining and not hearing you very clearly.
I'm sorry, is that better?
That sounds better, yes.
Okay, I was explaining a 5-year separation where we did about a year of private mediation, which did not yield a result, a final result, and I hired a collaborative lawyer, but my husband was unwilling to enter into that process, and we ended up finally in litigation after 4 more years, and it's very sad because I feel like I needed that kinder, gentler process that involved a team of support, and we didn't really have that.
Bob, what do you do when only one person wants to take part in it?
It's the key problem that gets in the way, because both parties have to agree to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, Valerie, your ex-husband probably did not understand what the collaborative process was, because it's a better process for virtually everybody. And the result was that the two of you continued to fight. You spent a lot more money and a lot more time than you had to. And it was just so destructive, instead of getting out of the process as soon as possible in the healthiest possible way. It's making the best of a situation that is not ideal, and sometimes it's really bad. All I can suggest to those of you who may be contemplating getting divorced is to talk to your spouse about the process. Talk about using the collaborative process instead of the standard model that everybody knows, which is going into court and destroying each other. When you're in court and an issue is being addressed, it is going to be destructive. And it doesn't matter what the topic is. And if you have kids, it is going to spill out and affect the children as well.
What really is a divorce? This is Lana Stern. It's really a legal document with financial implications, but it's really a relationship issue. And the relationship involves not just the couple, but involves the children, the in-laws, the friends, the family, the extended family, and so forth. So for it to be a litigated or divorce terrible, it doesn't make any sense. This way it can be respectful. People can co-parent. They can attend things throughout the lifetime of their children together in a peaceful, respectful way.
Carol, in Fort Lauderdale, we're short on time now, but you wanted to talk about finding a collaborative divorce attorney?
Yes, thanks for taking my call. Mm-hmm. It sounds like it's a very different process than the common one going to court. Are all lawyers trained this way? And if not, how do I find somebody, say, in my area in Fort Lauderdale or other places?
Okay, let them answer that, because they are trainers, and we're going to talk about that. Rosemary, did you want to respond
sure.
to Carol?
You can go on to the, actually, you can go on to the council website, which is Collaborative Family Council
of Florida.
CollaborativeCounselFlorida.com. That will give you a list of all the practice groups in the state, and it will let you know who you can contact in Fort Lauderdale, who you can contact in Miami. I don't know exactly where you are in Broward County, but all of the people in these groups have been trained, and it's essential that a person be trained in this process. There are attorneys who say, oh, I always settle cases. But it's very different settling a case when you have litigation and, you know, in the background there, than it is when you have agreed not to go to court and you want to do something in a civil and respectful way.
There's a group of collaborative professionals in Broward County They work together as the Collaborative Family Law Professionals of South Florida. In Miami, our group is the Collaborative Family Law Institute. And you can look those names up on the internet, and both have websites. You can choose which attorney you'd like to go have a consultation with.
And I'll get all that information, and we'll put it on our website. Talk about your training. Who wants to talk about that? Florida Collaborative Trainers.
I'll start with the training. We have a group of attorneys, financials, and mental health people who stay together during the whole process. And we teach them how to go through this process step by step through demonstration, PowerPoint, and through some interactive question and answer period. The essential thing is that when people finish a training, they will be able to know the process from beginning, first consultation, which Bob usually does, from the very, very beginning, something we call informed consent, where they learn about the different ways that you can divorce, to the very end, where they sign the marital settlement agreement. And then we have a series of all sorts of things that can happen. Some of them are very fun and exciting things that can definitely derail a process, but we use it as a demonstration to show how these things can be resolved in this divorce process. It's a two-day training.
It's a two-day training.
Right.
And you train around the country?
Uh-huh. We've gone to New Hampshire, and we've gone almost all over Florida, I guess. We have one coming up on June 13th and 14th in Boca Raton, a new group that just started, the South Palm Beach County Collaborative Law Group. Okay. And they also have a website. So it's spread. And you know, there are over 4,000 practitioners around the world. There are over 27 countries, I believe, that have collaborative law working.
And it's gaining popularity.
Oh, my heavens, yes. It's just a great movement.
Well, I guess we've run out of time. We've been speaking with Florida Collaborative Trainers on today's Topical Currents. And of course, we will have links to all this on our website. We want to thank you for being here, Robert Merlin, one of the attorneys.
Thank you, Bonnie.
Thank you, Rosemary Roth.
Thank you, Bonnie.
Dr. Stern, Dr. Lana Stern.
Thank you very much, Bonnie.
Thank you. And our neutral financial professional, Edward Sachs, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you, Bonnie.
It's been a pleasure. That wraps up today's Topical Currents, and we are so happy you joined us. Our producer is Richard Ives, technical direction from online producer Paul Leary. We have free audio archives and downloads at our website, WLRN.org, and we'll have links to today's organizations that were mentioned as well, and more on our Facebook page at facebook.com/topicalcurrents. You can follow me on Twitter at Bonnie Berman. Tomorrow's program looks at the problems of guardianship in South Florida. We'll speak with Dr. Sam Sugar. He's the founder of Americans Against Abusive Probate Guardianship. Bonnie Berman, hoping your Monday is a great day. Stay tuned for Here and Now, up next from NPR News.